Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a bunch of talented people in our text today from Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Everybody's got talent. A man gave 5 talents to one of his servants, 2 talents to another, and 1 to a third, each according to his ability to make more. Then the investor went away on a journey until he would return to see how the servants did. So we see Jesus today teaching about the end of the world, teaching about the coming of his kingdom, and comparing it to business and investing. God has given each of us talents, his own property, while he is away on a journey, so to speak. And his return is the end of the world, in our judgment day, where he will check to see how we did. Christians often view this text as teaching stewardship, right? God is the giver of his own possessions, and we are the servants of God's things. There's nothing that we have that hasn't been given us by God. How true. Thus, how we use our gifts, our talents, is subject to God's judgment at the end of time. And we all want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What can we learn today from this parable to help us? Well, first, let's look at how much God gives and entrusts to us as his stewards. 5, 2, and 1 were the talents given to the 3 stewards in the text today. So we need to know, how much is a talent? How much was a talent in biblical times in particular, right? According to biblical scholars, 1 talent equals 7,300 denarii. And 1 denarius is 1 day's wage for a common laborer. So with 1 talent, a person could live comfortably for 20 years. 2 talents, 40 years. 5 talents, 100 years. A lifetime and then some for most first century people, right? However, they say if it was a gold talent, not a silver talent, it would have been 30 times what we just heard. So 1 talent, 600 years wages. 2 talents, 1,200 years wages. 5 talents, 3,000 years wages. Wow. Jesus preached a lot about blessed are the poor, but he sure could throw around some sizable numbers, right? That only the rich could realize. And here's the point. Not many of us have that kind of money. But all people, all their lives, and all their possessions are worth more than what we think or imagine. Look how much God has given you. This is Thanksgiving week, right? A time to remember to be thankful for God's gifts, family, friends, home, food, nation, liberty, good reads, good movies, good times. How do you put a value on all that? We forget just how blessed we truly are. The parable today will help remind us, look how much God has given. And he gives each according to his ability. God doesn't give you more than what you can handle. He gives you appropriately so that when he returns, he can judge fairly based on you and your ability to manage what God has given you. No one should complain, God gave me too much or God gave me too little. In that sense, we are all like Goldilocks. When she finds the porridge and the chair, what do we have from God is just right. Don't be jealous of others. Manage what God has given you faithfully. A steward of God is a good steward when he manages what he has faithfully, so that when God returns, he sees the investment grow in proportion to the gift. To those who manage well, we heard it in the text, God will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you a little, Now I'm going to give you much. You know, I just told you about how much a talent was. Well, if he said that the one who had five talents was a little, I wonder how much is. That's a fantastic picture of heaven, don't you think? The one who had five talents, maybe what, several thousand years of wages, and that's a little? I wonder how much is for him or for us. As he said to the five-talented man, enter into the joy of your master. That's where God stays in sight and gets to enjoy with us all that he's given to you. He said the same to the man who received the two talents. Well done, you've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Now I give you much. Enter into the joy of your master. But the third person came forward and he had excuses for why he didn't invest his one talent. All his excuses had to do with the giver. I knew you to be a hard man. You reap where you do not sow. You gather where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I hid my talent in the ground. In the ground is where we bury dead people. So his investment was as good as dead. Funny that he perceived the giver in such a way that it affected his own management, his own stewardship of what he was given. God gives not only to us life and material things, but he also gives us the gift of faith, the true knowledge of God, the saving knowledge of Jesus, the greatest treasure in the world, far more precious than gold or silver. Some will invest that knowledge, living out the life of faith, taking risks and sacrificing of their own things and needs for others. True Christians invest their time in God's house, where he comes with his gifts of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Here in God's house, God the giver gives us his Son, our Savior, crucified and risen for us. This gift causes many to see God as gracious and generous, merciful and kind, holy and beloved. But others who have been given gifts, each according to their ability, bury the gift. No one knows where it is or even if it exists. No one else benefits from it. None of the blessings of that talent come back to the steward or to the giver. Nothing additional comes back to God. Those who bury their talent think God to be too hard, to be unjust, unfair, mean, angry, unmerciful, unknowable. And of course, that is just not true, is it? For God revealed his true being, his true character in his word. He revealed who he is and what he wants with us through his Son, Jesus. It's not science and nature that he gives us a certainty of who God is and what he's done for us, but by giving to us Jesus, God in the flesh, God for us on the cross, God victorious for us as a man by the open tomb. In Jesus, we know God as friend. In Jesus, we hear the name Father and Son and Holy Spirit, the Comforter. How you perceive God will affect how you manage God's investment. Your stewardship will reflect what you believe about God. It's not about giving more to a stewardship program at church. It's about believing rightly about God and living out that belief your whole life as a steward who has been given gifts and have been redeemed, each of us according to our ability. The faithful stewardship God witnesses when you believe firmly in God's goodness and mercy and live out a life of love for him, sharing the good life and the good news with others, being generous Christians, forgiving, loving. Today, let this parable shine light on our sins, how we have failed to appreciate how much God has given us. Repent and remember God has been exceedingly good to us and fair, each according to our ability. Second, let this parable shine light on faithful stewardship. Use the gifts of God that He's given you to the benefit of God and your neighbor. And third, let this parable shine light on Jesus. How? He, as God, has not only given you talents, but Jesus gave His whole life for you. And when you fail by your works to please God, to show a great investment in return on everything He's given to you, you look to Jesus, who said, "I paid it all. I gave my life for you." For only in Jesus do we see the good steward. And only by Jesus do we stand in the judgment day and hear that great news. Well done, good and faithful servant. For God redeems our life in full from beginning to end, so that our good works are seen and known by God, even when we can't see them. Praise be to God who's given us Jesus, the good steward, the talent that we need to endure to eternal life. God bless you in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.